Hi, this is Honey from myhoneywearsplaid.com. Today's Monday, September 13th, 2010, and my co-host is Seder69. Hi, Seder.
Bonsoir.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. It's a lazy day for me. Just get to relax. It's my day off from the theater.
Oh, that's good. Now,
Still have to go to work tonight, but at least I'm off from one job.
Excuse me. Yes, that is a good thing, at least to be off from one job. That's why, actually, did we tell the listeners last time that we're switching to Mondays?
We did, yes.
Okay, so then that's why you're switching, because it makes it so much easier for you to record on a Monday.
Correct.
Very good. Now, something I just thought of, because you said theater, and it made me think of something. Did you watch the VMAs at all last night, the MT video? What is it? Video Music Awards? Is that what it's called?
No, I'm too old.
I must be too old, too, because I did not, but there seemed to be a lot of attention to it in the news for some reason.
And the Twitter universe was all a Google about it.
What were they saying? Because I don't even know.
It's mainly the three things I noticed were Lady Gaga changed outfits numerous times, including a dress made out of meat.
Okay, I did see that picture, yeah.
And she asked Cher to hold her meat purse.
Oh.
But didn't ask her to pull back her meat curtains.
Oh, gross.
Good times.
That's gross.
And then Taylor Swift, I guess, sang this emo song about Kanye interrupting her last year.
Oh.
And then Kanye, I guess, did some kind of number to apologize for his behavior last year, but something akin to that.
Well, you already know more than I do.
Like I said, late at night at work, I get to read a lot of tweets.
Well, I saw the picture of Lady Gaga with the meat curtain. I mean, not the meat curtain. with the meat dress on. And why was she wearing the gray hair?
That wig looked gray. I haven't seen pictures, so I don't even know.
Oh, okay. Well, the hair
did enjoy... Chris Colfer, who plays Kurt Himmel on Glee.
Oh, yes.
Got to introduce her. And I guess the story goes, the first time he met her, he just totally became a fanboy and couldn't even talk to her.
Oh, really?
Just all a flutter.
But he's famous. He should be able to talk to a famous person.
Well, you know, he's a Fresno boy. He's from Fresno like I am. We never really feel we're truly famous.
we never feel it.
No. We're always on the outskirts of famosity. But so he tweeted that he actually got to talk to her and didn't make a fool of himself. So that made me feel good for him.
Well, that is good for him then. Well, so then you didn't really watch them either. You just found stuff on the Twitters.
Yeah, I just found stuff on the Twitters. Although amusing, I think it was Kathy Griffin or Joan Rivers, one of the two. Or maybe Julie Brown. These are three comedians who I love to follow on Twitter. They are very funny. One of them posted, Lady Gaga wore a dress made out of meat. What's next? A coat out of live cats?
That would be funny, actually.
And then in my mind, I started putting it together. How could you make a coat out of live cats? That would rock.
You'd have to hang them on there somehow.
Yeah, you would.
But speaking more of Lady Gaga, I did see this thing. I guess it was on Joe My God or Toll Road or one of those gay blogs. That she did Ellen's season opener and talked about the repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Did you see any of that?
I heard about it, but I haven't seen it. But I did hear about that as well, yeah.
And then later this evening, not that I'm switching into politics, but later this afternoon I saw that Harry Reid is going to introduce the bill to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell next week.
That's cool.
Yeah, very cool. That's a lot of little bits of information in a short amount of time.
I think Lady Gaga is one of our vanguard of gay rights right now, which is amazing since she's not gay. But I'm really appreciative of all she's been doing lately.
Wait, didn't you hear the rumor that she's got a penis?
Oh, I've heard that rumor before, but I've also heard it's many people who say, no, she's actually a woman. So
yeah. Well, I think she did mention the Don't Ask, Don't Tell thing at the VMAs as well. I mean, again, I don't know because I didn't watch it, but, you know, I heard that.
I think she did speak out against it, yes.
Okay. Well, so how did we get too old to stop watching the VMAs? I mean, I should say stop watching. I actually never started watching them.
I think it comes akin to the fact that I remember when MTV actually played music videos.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Now they really don't anymore, so.
Don't you have to have MTV2 on your cable to get the actual videos?
Oh, who knows? I've never turned to it in years. I really haven't.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Growing up, I didn't have MTV. I had Friday Night Videos.
Oh, I did too.
Exactly, yeah. Friday nights, I'd stay up late and watch all the latest music videos on, I think it was NBC, wasn't it?
It was NBC, and it came on after, like...
The Tonight Show.
Yeah, The Tonight Show. The Tonight Show. Wasn't there another show after that, though? No, maybe it did come on right after The Tonight Show, yeah.
But, yeah, I remember staying up late. That's how I got my music videos when I was growing up as a teenager.
I think that was on from, like, 1980 to 84, something like that.
Something, yeah.
But then, you know, MTV started in 81. So, I was trying to look this up.
And what was the very first video?
Video Killed the Radio Star.
Good job.
By the Buggles.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called? Friday Night Videos?
I believe it's called Friday Night Videos, yeah.
Because I'm going to... Just do a quick look.
We're hitting the Google, aren't we?
Well, I'm actually going to... There's a Wikipedia. It started... Oh, no, that's wrong. I'm reading that wrong. It says Friday Night Videos, later known as Friday Night or Late Night, is an American music video show broadcast on the NBC television network from July 29th, 1983 to May 24th, 2002, and was the network answer to MTV. Belinda Carlisle was the first guest host.
Aww.
Now, that's interesting, 1983. Okay, so I was in college then. That was my first year of college. So the thing is, I do remember watching it in college with a bunch of college friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. Lots of co-hosts were on there. I didn't know that it went all the way to 2002. Jeez.
Yeah, it was a popular show for folks who didn't have basic cable.
Yeah. I guess I was lucky I had the basic cable, so we had the MTV.
Yeah, I didn't growing up.
But, you know, as you were saying, in terms of turning your TV to MTV now, if you had cable, is the only reason I would turn to MTV now is to watch, like, what's that show? Real World. The Real World?
Never seen it.
Wait a minute.
Wasn't that, like, the first reality show, though?
It was back in 1992. You have never seen an episode of The Real World?
Never have, no.
Oh, come on.
Swear to God, I wouldn't lie to you.
Why? That's like pop culture right there.
No, I don't know. I've just never seen it. I've heard all about it, just never seen it.
Oh, that's...
When was Survivor? Survivor was the first reality show I can remember watching.
Well, it was the first network reality show.
Was it?
I watched
the first couple seasons, and then I just faded away from it.
Because it's like on the 16th season, isn't it?
Is it really? Holy crap.
Well, they say 16th season, but there were a couple years there where they did it twice in a year or something like that.
I just remember being enthralled by Survivor when it first came out. And also going, but this really isn't Survivor. No one's really surviving anything.
Well, that's true.
But it was a good show.
Wikipedia, again, remember, you can't believe everything that you hear or read on Wikipedia, but it says Survivor is a reality television game show format produced in many countries throughout the world. In the show, contestants are isolated in the wilderness and compete for cash and other prizes. The show uses a system of progressive elimination, allowing the contestants to vote off other tribe members until only one final contestant remains and wins the title of sole survivor. The format,
bum, 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 bum.
Yes, the format for Survivor was created in 1992 by British television producer Charlie Parsons. But let me see, where does it say like the the first one in America? I don't see. Oh my God, they have one in Fuji, Argentina, Australia, all these different...
It's a popular franchise.
Yeah. Oh, this started in the year 2000. That's surprising. I thought it would be longer ago than that.
That's about right.
Huh.
So, honey, what did you do over the weekend?
I know, I meant to go there first, but I totally got sidetracked here.
Gaga will do that to you.
I guess she will. Okay, so over the weekend, the boyfriend came to my house, and Friday night we just... what did we do Friday night? Oh, Friday night we went to our very, very last concert at Wolf Trap. We call it a concert, but it was actually a movie. We saw The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, the video or the, you know, DVD or whatever on a really big screen, and then the National Symphony Orchestra played the music in the background.
That was very cool.
That was very cool. And it was so nice because the weather was perfect. It was like, well, for me, it was perfect. It was like 65 degrees, and then it was dropped. It kept getting a little chillier by the time we left. It probably was like 55 degrees by that time. But the weather was perfect. The crowds were perfect. It was just a really nice way to end the summer, our summer concerts. So we did that on Friday night. And then on Saturday, we went to a wine festival, which is basically a place where a whole bunch of wineries come together so people can taste all their different wines and buy their wines. So we did that on Saturday. Saturday night, we watched TV and had dinner. Well, I should say we came home from the wine festival and had like a 3-hour snuggle nap. As you know, we like to snuggle. We love our snuggles. And then on Sunday, we went to two wineries. Excuse me, because I had to pick up my cellar club selection from one of them because I'm a member of their wine club.
Mm-hmm.
And just tasted some wine. When we came home, we took a little nip and nap, and then the boyfriend had to go home.
Honey, quick question for you.
Yes.
In your place right now, how many bottles of wine do you have?
67.
Oh, my goodness.
That's not even that much. The boyfriend has like 150.
No shit. Really?
Yes.
Wow.
He's got wine coming out his ears. He keeps buying wine. There's like no place to put it in his house. He's got a lot. Yeah.
When do you plan to drink it all?
Well, this weekend we drank... from my collection, we drank like 4 bottles, but then I bought 4 bottles on Sunday. So it's like you're constantly drinking it, and then you constantly feel replenishing your supply.
You know, I actually wish I drank wine because it sounds like such a great little hobby.
It can be expensive if you buy.
I bet it can.
If you buy it by the case, it can get very expensive. But if you just buy a bottle here and there. Because the tastings are pretty inexpensive, $5 here. I think the largest one was $20 one time, but most of them are like $5 to do a tasting, and that's doable.
Well, if you ever get out here to Monterey, being a concierge at a 4-star hotel, I have got free wine tasting cards for lots of local wineries, so I will make sure you have a good time if you ever get out here with a boyfriend.
Well, we're going to try to go to California next summer. But
excellent.
We were going to do that this summer, and the financial situation didn't work out, and other stuff didn't work out. But here's my question. I keep forgetting exactly where Monterey is. Is that like north of the wine country, Sonoma, Napa, that area, or is it south of that area?
We're south. We're 2 hours south of San Francisco, and Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas Valley, we are our own little wine country, too. We're a lesser-known one.
Okay,
because we have numerous wineries right here.
Our focus the next time is going to be on Sonoma.
Mm-hmm.
So we would probably, because that's north of Napa, so we were actually thinking about flying into Sacramento and driving down. Wouldn't that be correct?
You'd be driving over from Sacramento, kind of over and up. Sacramento is in what's called the Central Valley, and Napa is kind of kinky to the coast, I guess.
How long of a drive is it from there to Sonoma?
I'm going to guess it's going to be about a 3 to 4 hour drive.
Oh. Okay, then we should probably still go to San Francisco, because when we went to San Francisco, it was only like a 2 hour drive.
That'll be your shortest drive is from San Francisco.
Though. Yeah, maybe we'll do that instead. Well, we'll let you know in case you want to drive up and meet us or something.
Or maybe I'll just steal you all down here for a day. Just one day. Come on down here. I'll take you to the aquarium. We'll go to some wineries.
Well, how long of a drive would it be from Sonoma down to your place?
About 4 hours.
Holy crap, there's the whole day.
That is not the whole day. Well, this coming from the person who chickened out of going to Sacramento to see Matt and Ouija's show because it was a 3.5-hour drive and I just wasn't up to it.
Yeah, I was going to go there next, but...
I know.
No, so let's transition to that. What did you do this weekend?
You know, I wanted to go to Sacramento to see Madame Ouija's show, but I was just so exhausted from work. Getting to sleep at night is a luxury now. I enjoy my 2 nights a week I get to sleep at night. So Friday, I just stayed at home and really did a whole lot of nothing. Saturday night was our monthly game night with our circle of friends, and that was a hoot and a half. Two of our friends host a monthly gathering where it's all a potluck. Everyone brings a dish mm-hmm. and brings games, and we just sit around and play board games all night.
And what did you take? What dish did you take?
What dish did I take? I think tonight... Oh, this month I was in charge of the chips. I was in charge of the finger foods.
Uh-huh.
Just to make sure that, you know, we had munchies throughout the night.
They give you certain items that you have to... Like sign up for or something?
Well, we each volunteer. That way we know we're getting a rounded. Because one time, like, we didn't coordinate, and we had like 80 desserts and no entrees. So yeah. Now we coordinate to make sure that we're at least one dish is covered in every major dinner food group.
That's a good idea. That's a smart move.
And I spent $85 on Friday buying new games for a Saturday night.
Like, what kind of games?
So, I bought... That $85 was three games. I bought this huge new board game called Castle Ravenloft. And it's set... It's a Dungeons & Dragons game. It's a board game, not where you write up a character and roll dice, per se. This is a board game set in the Ravenloft world of Dungeons & Dragons. And Ravenloft is this mysterious plane ruled over by a vampiric lord. And so in this game, you're trying to battle the vampire. Or in this case, what we did on Saturday night was we battled his undead dragon. And it was just a whole lot of fun. As you place tiles of the castle as you explore it, and then... monsters will appear and you have to fight them. It was a whole lot of fun.
Wow. It sounds actually pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? Intricate.
It was a tougher game. It took us about 2.5 hours to play it.
How do I say that word?
Intricate.
That's what I'm trying to say.
And then I also got a great card game called Straw. And it's all about, you do not want to... You're placing items on the back of a camel, and you don't want to be the one to break the camel's back.
And what's the name of it?
Straw.
Oh, okay.
You don't want to be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
That sounds kind of cool.
It was a really fun game. I really, really enjoyed it.
So then they're not all role-playing / sci-fi games. You have different kinds of games.
Oh, I mean... Our hosts alone have over 100 different games, but then I bring some games that I know they don't have. Other games that we play a game called Arkham Horror, which is set in H.P. Lovecraft's World of Cthulhu, and we play the Battlestar Galactica board game. That one is very intense as far as a board game goes, because you don't know who's a Cylon. And what else do we do? We play Last Night on Earth, which is a zombie apocalypse game.
Okay, well, see, I spoke too soon, because those all do sound like they're sci-fi kind of stuff.
Well, sci-fi fantasy, there's a lot.
So how many people get together at these gatherings?
Let's see here. This week we had about... I want to say we had about 10 this month.
Well, now, are they all couples, or is there some dating material in there?
Oh, not for me. No. I'm the only homo in my circle of friends.
Oh, I thought they were all gay.
No. These are mainly... And actually, there's only a couple couples. Oh, I take it back. I am not the only homo, but the other one is a lesbian, so I'm shit out of luck there.
Now, that's very interesting. So you play games with mostly straight people.
Actually, my circle of friends is mostly straight. I've only recently discovered a gay circle of friends, and unfortunately... They're so apathetic, we really don't get around to do much together.
Why are they apathetic?
I think it's the area. It's just this. I won't say this is a closeted area, but we don't even have a gay bar, for the love of God. I would call us a fairly major town in California, but we don't even have a gay bar. But it's a very conservative area, although Prop 8 did not pass here. I will say that. We voted it down by a large percentage in our county. But yeah, it's very conservative. Very, I will use the word closeted. So there's not a big gay community. Like I say, we don't have a yearly pride. We have a yearly tolerated shame.
I think that's very interesting, and I find it even more interesting that you don't have very many gay friends. Not that you don't have many gay friends. I mean that your circle of friends are mostly straight.
You know, it's always been that way, though, because I've never been a good gay guy, other than the sucking dick part. I'm really good at that. But
can you suck the impaler?
Oh, I did once when I was much younger. But that, oh, don't get me started there, honey. I'll need some alone time if I go into that memory. No, but because I'm a theater person, and believe it or not, there's not a whole lot of fags in theater.
Well, like in your town.
Yeah, in my town. And I'm a huge hockey fan. I'm a gamer. So I run in circles that aren't predominantly gay, per se.
True.
So it's very bizarre.
And your job is nighttime, too, so that you don't, like, run into a bunch of people that who might be gay at your workplace, right? Well, actually, the hotel industry, forgive me.
That's
lots of gays there. The hospitality industry.
Yep. There are a lot of happy homos, but I never get to see them.
That's the shame part. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's and then Sunday, I didn't do anything on Sunday. Other than my dim sum. I do dim sum on Sundays.
You make it yourself?
Oh, hell no. No, I can barely make Top Ramen and Kraft mac and cheese. Again, bad gay man. No, there's a wonderful Chinese restaurant a block away from my apartment, and we go there for dim sums on Sunday.
And you say we. Who's we?
Me and my next-door neighbors. They're my best friends here in the area.
Wow.
Other than my flame dame. She's my other best friend.
Okay. Okay, so then let's go back to the play that you were going to possibly go to. Did you see on the Twitters, Matthew from Spanky B. Arthur kind of got upset with us because we didn't mention that it was his play and that he was directing it and he was doing all this?
Well, that was much more Larkin than us, truth be told.
Exactly, and that's the way I said it on the Twitters. I said, you need to blame that. Well, actually, I blamed it on you and Larkin because I didn't know anything about it.
Well, Larkin. I think Larkin likes the Ouija. I'm just guessing.
Really, you think so?
I think maybe. But no, I was remiss saying that I wanted to meet both of them. Actually, technically, all three of them, because I like to meet Larkin too. So that was all good times.
But you were just too tired to do that, right?
I just wasn't. It was actually much more of the thought of being tired on Saturday because I knew I had to be back in town at 1 o'clock for rehearsal, so the thought of having to get up at 8 a.m. to drive home and then do rehearsal, I just wasn't up for it.
Yeah, that'd be a bit much.
If I didn't have rehearsal, I probably would have done it. I had a lot more free time and no obligations.
Yeah.
And the other thing, God, I just turned into Big Fatty. Oh!
You did just for a minute.
For a second. The other thing I did on Sunday was I finished our book.
Oh, that's right. You did say that. So and you said you finished it like all in like an hour or something like that.
It was so funny. I sat down. I wanted to take a nap. That's where it came down from. I like taking a nap on Sunday. That way I'm good for work on Sunday night. But I'm looking at it. I'm about page 81. And I'm looking that page 95 is about halfway through. So I went, okay, I want to get to the halfway point before I put the book down today. So I started reading, and then it just caught me up in a whirlwind of reading to the where the next thing I know, I have finished the damn book in about an hour, hour and a half.
Wow.
It's an intriguing little book.
But it's so obviously it's a quick read, you're saying.
It is. His structure is really nice. Very short chapters, so you can read two or three chapters instantly, and you're just zooming right through it. So I really enjoyed it. But I'm trying to save it for the book club show. But
right.
I think folks will enjoy this book.
Well, I have finished my professional book, so I'm going to start the book either tonight or tomorrow night. And I think it's going to be a quick read too, as well. So I think
it will be.
I think it'll be a good one. Do you think we'll get some good discussions out of it?
I'm hoping so. I actually emailed the author, Alex Sanchez.
Yeah.
I emailed him earlier today to see if he has any possible questions we can use to spur conversation for the book club.
Oh, yeah, because I didn't think to look at the back of the book to see if there's any discussion questions.
Yep, they don't. So I wanted to check with him. And then maybe I'll invite him to see if he wants to join us, possibly.
Well, absolutely.
But, it's a very young book. I mean, the main character is 15.
Right. And it is written like a high school book, I think.
Yeah, it is for young adults, so I felt a little old reading it. but it's still very enjoyable.
But all of his books are that way.
Yeah, but he seems to. Well, he's. I went to his website, and he's very big about supporting gay youth, the whole coming out experience.
Yeah.
And actually, he's got a very deep set spiritual side, too, and he wants gay youth to be able to coincide. Is that the right word? Coincide? Their homosexuality with their spiritualism. So I thought that was nice.
Oh, okay. I think also the fact that, you know, you say you felt a little guilty reading, or I don't know, felt weird reading a young kid's book or whatever. Is that what she said?
Yeah, well, it's a little uncomfortable, yeah.
But you have to remember that you were once a kid that age, and you could have gone through some of the same things.
No. When you read it, this is set for the modern teen. I did not have any kind of experience like this growing up.
Well, I guess I'm talking about like the coming out experience.
Well, there is that universal part of the coming out experience, but
I know that this book takes place where there's a gay straight alliance, and there was definitely none of that when I went to high school.
Yeah, me either. And there's a lot that's set on the world of the internet, and you know I didn't have that.
This is about the internet's on there. Oh, I'm going to enjoy that then.
Well, the internet plays a big part. It plays a really big part, but it's an interesting read. I think folks will enjoy it.
Well, very good. We'll definitely have. I'm looking forward to it, and we have to remind everybody that the date is September 30th. So, if you haven't read the book, it's called "Getting It" by Alex Sanchez, and we suggest you join us. So,
and honestly, even if you ordered the book today and got it like a week before the show, you could still read it in time for the book club show. So, if you'd like to join us, please do, because I think it's nice to have lots of input.
Absolutely, especially like we had the listener Timothy join us. Maybe he'll join us again. Actually, I think he said he would, but we'll see. And speaking of podcasting and so forth, we have to announce that I will not be doing a group show on Thursday night because I have a very special wine tasting to attend on Thursday evening. So Arthur is taking the time slot, and that goes into changes in the group shows. We're now going to be doing them every other week. So I'll do one, and then Arthur will do one, then I'll do one, and then Arthur will do one. However, for the rest of September, he's going to take the 16th, and so my normal time would be the 23rd, and then he would get the 30th, but I need the 30th for the book club. So I might want to ask him if he wants to take the 23rd as well. I don't know. We'll see. Or let me have both of them. I don't know. We'll talk about that. But the change is starting this week. Arthur takes this Thursday, and then I'll take the next Thursday. So I hope everyone will stick around for Arthur's show, and I'm sure that Sater will be a guest on that show if his rehearsal is done or whatever.
Yeah, if I'm not over at the theater, then I'll be glad to join in on that.
Yeah.
I love group shows. I really do. It's just so much fun talking to all these varied opinions and great personalities.
I agree. I love them, too. And you do so well on them, so.
Oh, thank you very much.
Now, we have been chatting for 30 minutes, believe it or not, so I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Do you have anything else you'd like to discuss before we do wrap it up?
I can't think of anything. I'm really excited. One of my favorite podcasts, the Ben and Dave Six Pack, they're in California this week and are going to be up in the San Francisco area later this week, and I'm really looking forward to going up and meeting them. If you haven't listened to the Ben and Dave Six Pack, it's a fun podcast to listen to.
Is it gay?
Oh, it's very gay. They're two gay guys. One's a disc jockey, one's a comedian, and they the structure of the Six Pack is it has six segments every episode. Not necessarily the same segments every episode, but they'll always interview somebody. And next week, they're interviewing the Flat 29 lads.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot of fun. They interview some really, really intriguing people and some funny people more often than not.
Okay, so what's it called again?
The Ben and Dave Six Pack.
How come we've never heard of them?
Well, you know, they are part of the Pride 48 community. They are much more of a what I call one of our more mainstream podcasts. But it's
what does that mean?
Really
What does that mean? That they're better than us?
No, they have more of a corporate feel. Does that make sense?
Oh, I see. Okay, okay, yeah, I get what you're saying when you said that like that.
There are some podcasts that have much more of a homegrown feel, and there are some that just feel much more corporate.
Is this one really like really well produced with sounds and all this kind of stuff?
It is very well produced. Yes, I feel that they probably have a professional producer, an editor who works on it.
Oh wow!
But it's really nice.
Well, that's really good. Then I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, you'll enjoy them. Trust me.
Okay, cool. Very good.
And I think they put out like every 2 weeks. I think it's an hour episode every 2 weeks, so there's not an overload of content.
Okay, and how long have they been doing it? Do you know that?
Oh, I've been listening to them for over a year.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to check them out.
You know, a lot of times we promote a lot of our own Pride 48 community, and there's nothing wrong with that because God loves supporting one another in the community. But there are some great podcasts who aren't part of the Pride 48 community that I think if folks are into listening to podcasts, there's some great stuff to share and to listen to.
It's called The Six Pack.
Ben and Dave Six Pack. And they're not too hard on the eyes, so that's not bad either.
Ah, okay, all right. I'll check them out here. Oh, yeah, they're up to like 51 episodes, okay. Oh, they're recorded live at the Sirius XM Satellite Radio Studios.
Well, they do a weekly show there, but it's not the same as the Six Pack, yes.
Oh, wow.
They step in for Frank DeCara.
Oh yeah, then they're definitely corporate.
Yeah, they're his main guest host, I believe. When he's out, they step in and do the show for them.
Oh my! All right, definitely. I found their website is called Six Package.
The sixpackage.com. Yep.
No, it's just sixpackage.com.
You're right.
So for those of you who are looking for the link, it will not be in the show notes, but just type it in, sixpackage.com. Well, very cool. All right. Well, I guess we should wrap this up. Is that what you're plugging tonight then?
That's what I'm plugging tonight.
Okay. And I will be back, or actually we will be back next Monday, September 20th.
Yay!
Okay. And of course, I'll definitely listen to Arthur's show on Thursday to see if you're on there.
Indeed. So. Right, and you have a wonderful time at the wine tasting.
Absolutely. The way it's going to work is they're actually sending all these different wine bloggers. They're sending us the wine to our houses, and we all just stay where we are, and we taste it, and then we tweet about it at the same time that we're tasting it.
Okay, that sounds kind of cool. I like that.
This is going to be the release party for this wine. Wow. We're all doing it on Twitter in our houses, yeah.
Expect that via your Twitters then.
Actually, no, I have a different Twitter account for the wine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that won't be on this one, no.
It'd be funny to watch you get drunker and drunker as the night goes along. You'd be like a big Ricky text party.
Well, I can't get drunk because I have to go to work the next morning. But we'll definitely be tasting.
I have to say, Big Ricky's drunken Twitters are my favorite thing in the world.
Well, you have to be able to understand what he's saying.
No, you don't. That's what makes it so much fun.
All right, if you believe it. All right, well, thank you, sir, for joining me once again.
Thank you, sir.
And we will talk again next Monday.
Sounds good.
All right, say it with me. Until next time. Bye. Bye.